Hey everyone, welcome to the Swarm Syncast, a podcast covering all things Georgia Swarm. I'm your host, Corey Fields, and I'm joined by co-host Nicole Palumbo. The Swarm have been off for 2 weeks, so we will just inform you about some things that have been going on since we last spoke, get you up to speed for what's to come against Colorado, and we'll interview Swarm goaltender Craig Wendy and defenseman Ethan Riggs.
We just wanted to remind you that the Syncast is brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, Atlanta's premier waterproofing and foundation experts. Visit them at esogrepair.com for all waterproofing and foundation needs. Once again, that's esogrepair.com.
Georgia has been on a bye week for the last 2 weekends, and we just wanted to keep you in the loop on some things you might have missed. Some news that has happened since we last spoke is that we released Brett Beto to the player pool and picked up defenseman Jordan Trache. Trache played last season with Panther City Lacrosse Club. He'll be repping number 44 this season, so be on the lookout for him. The team took the first weekend of the two-week stretch off while having a practice this past weekend up in Toronto to dial it back in and get ready for the long stretch of games. Not so fun fact, the Swarm do not have another bye week for the remainder of the season. It is a strange coincidence of how that schedule turned out. Georgia has 14 straight games with a doubleheader in their stretching from this Friday until April 29th.
Speaking of 14 straight games, to start off the 14-game stretch, let's break down the Colorado preview. Both teams are on a losing streak and hungry for wins. Georgia, as you probably know, is in search of their first win, while Colorado fell to the San Diego Seals on January 28th, 13-9. Colorado holds an advantage over Georgia in the all-time series matchup, posting a 20-9 record, and the Mammoth are riding a 5-game winning streak against the Swarm. However, 4 of Georgia's 9 wins against Colorado have happened on the road, so we'll see if we can increase that to 5 this weekend. The Swarm are actually neck and neck in goals for and goals against per game. Georgia might rank last at 15th in the league for total goals with 41, but Colorado ranks 14th, tallying 47. Both Georgia and Colorado have had 58 goals scored against them, with Colorado ranking 2nd in goals against per game with 11.6, and Georgia in 3rd with 14.5. As for goaltending, Craig Wendy and Brett Dobson started 2 games each, with Dobson taking the last 2. Dobson totals 75 saves and 74 save percentage, while Wendy posts 79 saves and 72 save percentage. Although Dylan Ward is the Mammoth starting goaltender, logging 216 minutes, 173 saves, and an 82 save percentage, he didn't suit up last week against the Seals, as he was placed on the injured reserve list. At the moment, it is unsure if we'll see Ward in net on February 3rd, but with him on the IR, Tyler Carlson has been stepping up. Last week, he stopped 44 Seal shots with a 77 save percentage. On paper, it seems like we should have a good battle between the two foes, hoping Georgia can rally and come home with their first win. So again, make sure you guys tune in on ESPN Plus at 9 p.m. Eastern. All right, today we are joined by Ethan Riggs and Craig Wendy. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
To kick it off, some of our fans may not know, but, you know, I am one who get the pleasure of seeing it every weekend. You two have the biggest bromance, or if not one of the biggest bromances on the team. You know, can you tell us how that came about, especially coming from such different backgrounds and with an age gap? How does that work? But really kind of where did this friendship begin?
Yeah, I think what funny part of it is you know, Riggs didn't start last year with us. He was on Halifax in training camp, so I didn't get to meet Riggs till the technically the first week. So Gwen, our manager, had us paired as roommates, and sure enough, he went down for the first game last year, and he was a day early. So I basically showed up in this hotel room, and there's Ethan Riggs. So we got to, I think we hit it off pretty good. You know, we had bonded over some late night battle bots and stuff like that. And so we got to know each other quite well. And, you know, I think our friendship has blossomed from there, basically. And we've got to know each other really well for the past, I guess it's almost basically a full year now. And, you know, like you said, if anybody on our team sees that, we probably have the biggest romance, but the coaches are arguably fighting about that now. But TJ and Connor Kirst were trying to fight for that title last year, but I think we regained that now. But no, it's funny when you get to know somebody that's like you said, such a different age gap. But we travel together, we hang out together, we do all of the stuff on the road together, and no, it's been great.
I love it. One fan sent in a question asking who gets to choose the beds when you go to the hotel rooms. You know, do you choose, or is it designated? You know, someone gets the window.
I usually claim the first one that's in the hotel room every time. The one closest to the door is the one I usually claim, and then we kind of go from there. That's kind of been our routine. I'm usually the first one that picks the bed.
And then do you guys have a secret handshake?
Yeah.
Very cute.
Yeah, you'd see it. You'd see it like if you were in the change room before the game. Like usually I have this same stance in our change room or same stance if we're on the road. And Riggs will like walk up and then he'll do like this and then he'll give me a hug. And then you'll see it on the floor. Usually if I'm in the net to start the game or playing, he'll be the last one to leave basically to give me a hug before he's going back to the bench.
That's so cute. A lot of support there.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy, you're one of many fathers in the NLL. How do you balance out being a dad and traveling for 18 weeks out of the year?
It's a struggle. You know, luckily I have a lot of support to help me out along the way. You know, when you're on the road traveling around with these guys and stuff like that, they tend to become family just like everything else. But, you know, you miss a lot of key moments with your daughter growing up, and I can't say it's easy, it's tough, but you know what, those moments she gets to watch me play, or I see those pictures of her watching TV and she's pointing at daddy playing, you know, those make it all worth it in the end.
With your daughter being so young, and I know you have another one on the way, how well do you think she understands? And I know you said she sees daddy playing on the TV. That's really cute. So does she's adjusted to now you being away every now and then?
Yeah, she's I guess the greetings now getting home are a lot bigger than before. Like, you know, daddy, you're back and stuff like that. But she's adjusting. She recognizes that daddy plays lacrosse. And yeah, she enjoys it. Like, she's been around it now with the NLL and now summer lacrosse. So she's been around lacrosse since she's been born now. Like when she was a week old, she came to my first game in a carrier and everything. So yeah, she's been around lacrosse a lot.
Ethan. For the listeners who don't know, you lost about 40 pounds this offseason, looking like a younger Prince Charming or Ryan Reynolds. Could you talk about the impact the weight loss had on your game?
Yeah!
And what you had to do for it?
Honestly, this offseason, I really put my head down and just worked. I was working all summer, working out every day. I wasn't happy with what I looked like, how I felt, all that stuff. Cause growing up, I was always the like in shape kid and all that stuff. But last year, I don't know what happened. I kind of like, I'll say it. I let myself go and I don't know why, but like I made it a point for this summer to get back to my old ways. And I think I did that pretty well. And I'm very, very happy at where I'm at right now.
For sure. Did Chick-fil-A come out of the diet?
Yes, it absolutely did. And then first week back, Wendy's like, oh yeah, we're going to Chick-fil-A. So he's trying to drag me back into it. I'm not going
to
let him know.
He does that to people. Wendy, we're not going to forget about you though. So far this season, we've seen you and Dauber make some really acrobatic saves. Is part of being a goalie also having to be flexible? And how do you work on that? What are your thoughts on the way the goalie position is being played, moving from a positional style to more athletic style? And how do you feel it's impacting the game?
I've always felt like you got to be an active goaltender. I feel like, you know, the game's moving so fast and the players are moving that much faster that the goalie has to be that more athletic and that more quicker around the net. You know, as for a routine, you know, it's more than just weights, you know, players, you want to get bulky and stuff like that. But when it comes to goalie, got to be more flexible. So it's a lot of stretching, a lot of stuff like that, more body weight stretching and stuff. It's, I think that like, I've been working at, to be an athletic goalie for a long time. And, I'm not the biggest goalie in the league by any means. I'm not the tallest. So I've had to make up with it with athleticism. So, yeah, I really pride myself on how quick and that I play the game.
For some of the listeners who don't know, you started your career in Georgia before going to Rochester and coming back to Georgia. What does this full circle moment feel like for you, being able to play where you started your career?
It means a lot. You know, my first year in the NLL when I was with Georgia, you know, being on a practice roster, finally getting on an NLL roster was a big deal. You know, I wasn't a big name by any means going into the league. No one knew who I was. So, you know, I got to know people, know the team really well, got to know fans. And, you know, I didn't want to leave Georgia when I went to free agency after that year. But, you know, I had to take an opportunity to better my career and take a step forward in the National Lacrosse League. So, you know, when the opportunity came arise to come back to Georgia, I was so happy it happened. You know, this organization's been nothing but home to me. You know, the friendships I've developed through this organization, not even just the players, the staff, the front office staff, it's been quite enjoyable. You know, I love getting to know people. So this has been a blessing to be back with Georgia.
That's awesome. And Riggsy, you were originally drafted by the Halifax Thunderbirds and then released before we picked you up at the start of the 2021 season. You know, how did that make you feel? And how did you transition to fit so well into our locker room and just be the teammate you are today?
Honestly, being cut from Halifax at the time, it was hard. Definitely. I definitely hit a low. And then getting an opportunity from Georgia, it picked my spirits right back up. And just everyone, like all the guys on the team are great guys. It's not hard to get along with them. Like every single one of them has a different personality and you could just mold with all of them. They're just all just great guys. And I like to think that my way of like trying to like weasel my way into friend groups is just trying to make everyone laugh. I think I do a pretty good job of coming in every week with a smile on my face. And I think that helps a lot. So
amazing. We love to see you here in the Georgia organization too. Riggs, you won a gold medal with Team Canada, and Wendy, you've played quite a few seasons with the German national team, recently winning a silver. Can you talk to us about your international playing experiences and those important medal games and tournaments you've been a part of?
Do you want to go or do you want me to go?
You go first this time.
Right, because you're going to take longer because you love talking. it was awesome. It was a big thing in my family. I remember getting the call from Chris Fox saying, like, hey, you made the team. And it was a big celebration that day. But just playing and having and representing your country, it's a different feeling of pride you get, to be honest. It's very surreal to put on a jersey with that Canadian Maple Leaf right in the front and have your name on the back. It was awesome. My teammates were awesome. I played with Bucky. Actually, the new guy, Jordan Trottier, was the captain at the time. We won our gold medal, and it was awesome. I had an absolute blast.
Yeah, I basically say the same thing for me, but I did get to play for Team Canada, unfortunately. So some of us had to go play for a different country. So, but it was the same thing, like he said, you know, it's different when you get to play in the, you know, as a professional, but when you get to represent a country and that it's totally surreal. You know, I've been a part of German lacrosse for a number of years now, and I've competed in multiple tournaments. You know, it's quite an enjoyable experience. You know, like I said about being a friendly guy, develop your friendships. I've been able to talk to goalies, players, coaches from different organizations across the world now to get to know people and develop some good friendships with people. And it's been a blast. And unfortunately, it's probably come to an end to play for the Germans. But luckily I've had some good success with them. But like I said, about having friendships, it's all about growing the game and getting to know people. And that's what I love about this game.
Wendy, I know you, over the summer, we kind of talked about that and that you were kind of a mentor to a lot of the teammates, and you've had such a great time out there. And again, since being out there for so long, you know, another question, can you say any lacrosse terms in German?
Oh, I can count to five. That's about it. And
that's brutal. Brutal.
Let's hear it though. Let's hear it.
Eins, zwei, drei, vier, fünf. Basically, the what's nice about when you play with the Germans, all the Germans are able to speak English. So that's where we were able to communicate. Our coach was from around here, from Oakville. So we had to speak English because our coach speaks English. But no, like, it's been being with German lacrosse, all the guys are great. And they're all accommodating to me because I can't speak German. So it's it's been a battle sometimes, especially when they start yelling at each other and start wondering if they're actually being nice to each other or they're yelling at each other. And so, but no, it's been that was the tough part about it, by all means.
On media day, you both talked about different versions of never quitting and never giving up. Riggs, you said you almost quit, and Wendy, you used you not being drafted as fuel. Can you both talk to our listeners about your never giving up and your experiences?
I told this story to the guys actually, and during my last minor career, I wasn't big by any means. I was a small kid and I was sad a lot. And so it kind of took that love of lacrosse away from me. So I kind of went up to my parents at the start of junior and I said, like, I wasn't playing. So at the time I played for Oakville, my whole minor career. And then I was supposed to move to Hamilton, to play junior. And I didn't want to do that because I didn't know anyone from Hamilton. Like, I didn't know anyone that played on the team. So it was going to be different. And I don't know what it is. I don't deal with that kind of change well. And I just get kind of nervous. And so we went to the coaches at the time for Hamilton, asked for a release. They wouldn't release me. And so I looked at my mom and dad one day and I said, I don't want to play lacrosse anymore. And my parents kind of like looked at me, looked at themselves, and they said, that's not happening. You're playing. And it was hard for sure leading up to the season. But as soon as I started playing again, I looked at it like a brand new start, fresh sheet. No one knew who I was. So it was a lot different. I had great coaching and they kind of instilled that love of the game back into me. They didn't sit me. They kept putting me out there. I was their go-to shutdown defender in junior B, junior C. And it's just kind of that mentality I've had for the rest of my career now, is like, even when times get tough, you just keep pushing forward and eventually there's going to be light at the end of that tunnel. So I think just going back to the question, I've my whole life, I've never given up, but the one time I almost did, my parents knew that was for my best interest to keep playing, and I thank them every day for it.
Yeah, my journey's been something of a grind. You know, I've never had anything handed to me. I've always had to work for things in life and in lacrosse. Right out of junior, I wasn't drafted. I went to a free agent camp with the Washington Stealth when they were around. Went out there for a tryout camp, got released on my flight home. The next year I went to the Rock training camp and went right to the end, ended up getting released there. Then after that, I basically was in the realization that might not ever happen. I might not be destined to play in the NLL. You know, same as Riggs, I thought about packing it in. I thought about maybe I'm done playing lacrosse. Maybe junior was as far as I'm going to get. Then, you know, like Riggs, my parents said, nope, you can't do that. You're going to keep playing. Never know what can happen. So I grinded away. I did my time playing senior B in the summertime lacrosse, did my time, got minutes, started developing, started playing in some feeder leagues going into the NLL. And, I played one summer where Sean Ferris was my D coach. We went all the way to the Ontario finals, won the Ontario finals. And I remember the moment of that after that winning Ontario finals where I got to meet Sean after one of our games and he handed me his business card and says, yeah, we're going to sign you to a contract. And My dad knew Sean very well, and he knew, at least could see on the my face how happy I was. You know, for a guy that wasn't drafted, it took me 7 years to start my first game in the NLL. I know it wasn't for the Georgia Swarm. Sorry, everybody, it was for the Rochester Nighthawks, but we did play against the Georgia Swarm, so it was a kind of one of those full circle moments. But it's been a grind, and you know, I've been battling to keep in this league. I battled to get here, and I'm going to continue to battle. You know, I'm not ready to give up on this anytime soon, and you know, everything's been fuel to the fire. You know, I make sure everybody knows that, you know, just because your name isn't drafted or anything like that means nothing. You know, hard work gets you in this National Lacrosse League, not just your name. Sometimes hard work keeps you around and keeps you going in this league.
Man, you guys are giving me chills over here. On a more positive note, for some listeners who may not know, I had the privilege to dye both of your guys' heads for this season for the Georgia Swarm. Could you talk about what it's like being able to add your own flair or style to your equipment? Obviously, Craig gets it with his helmet as well, but what are your thoughts on adding your own personality to your equipment?
It was awesome. I saw Wendy's head, and I was like, you know, I've never had a head dyed before. And so he told me you did it, and I texted you right away, and I was like, hey, you got to do one for me. And it came out awesome. Having my grandpa's initials on there is awesome for sure. And it was a touch I had to add. It's kind of funny. I sent it to my grandma. I was like, hey, look, it's Papa's initials. And she's like, it's bringing me to tears. Blah, 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 blah. it was awesome having my own head now. That's personal to me.
You know, like you mentioned, you know, it's something to get a helmet done, right? But as a goalie, you know, players get some fancy gear, some customized gloves, and now, you know, they get to wear nice shoes and all this sort of stuff. So as a goalie position, you know, our equipment's pretty generic. You know, we don't get to add any personal touches on anything. So I've always been a part of, like, you know, dyeing a head something cool that kind of, for a goalie, that kind of adds a little personality to your equipment, you know. And like you've said, you've dyed mine, and you've also dyed ones I've used for Team Germany, and you know, I have a Georgia Swarm one. I had an Every Child Matters head done up by you with my daughter's initials on it. So, you know, it really means a lot, and like little bit things like that, in my opinion, to help add your own personal touch to your equipment.
I'm going to take it back a few questions and just say I'm very grateful for both your parents and your wife, probably Wendy there, that they all pushed you through. And now we have you guys on our side. So I'm just going to go. Had to throw that in there. But who are some of your favorite and most influential coaches throughout your career, and why?
Oh gosh. I had one in minor. I think it was Bantam and first year of midget. No. Bantam. I think it was just Bantam. And we had him for 1 year. And his name was Coach Bruce. That's it. You don't call him nothing else but Coach Bruce. And in minor, I was never the biggest, but I still played the way I play today. And except I had a lot more temper issues, one can say, when I was younger. But Bruce was the one coach that would never get mad at me. He put me in my place for sure. But he's one guy that would never get mad at the way I played. And he always told me to, like, stay true to how you play and don't let anyone tell you that you can't play that way. And so he had probably the biggest impact on my lacrosse career. Definitely junior A coaches and Dan McCray, Brett Hickey, Alex Krepensack. Those guys had a huge influence on how I play now. So those are my coaches that I look up to a lot.
I've had a couple my senior years that have kind of helped me get to the next level. Like, you know, I was lucky enough to play in the Arena Lacrosse League with Blaine McCauley, and Blaine McCauley kind of helped me get my time in and get my game time in to start developing into a National Lacrosse League goalie. I'd be for shamed if I didn't mention Sean Ferris. You know,
okay, well, develop. You know what? If we're doing that,
okay, let's like, be sure. So he was
I
my
thought we were talking before about I knew, other
before
coaches.
I even knew he was
you're such a kiss ass,
dude. Like the amount that he's been helping me propel my game to the next level, and you know, even getting into the National Lacrosse League, I cannot thank him enough for what he's done for me to get in this league. Yeah, I give him a lot of credit, and the relationship we have, is, like away from the game, you know, like I credit him a lot for where I am today in the league. Like he was a good friend of mine even when we weren't even on the same team, keeping up to date with me and all that sort of stuff. You know, like I said, I credit him a lot.
Sean Ferris is a good guy. Riggsy, if we're...
He's a great guy. Love that guy to death.
Riggsy, if you're benched this weekend, we might know why.
I can't believe you did that, Craig. That's awful. And that's the only coach he mentions, too. Did you guys notice that?
I said Blaine McCauley from the Arena Lacrosse League. Give me a break. Oh, my God.
Riggsy, we do have a specific question for you from the fans. Someone wants to know who your favorite Oakville coach is, and hopefully you get this one correct.
Favorite Oakville coach?
Oh, no.
Oh, pressure's on.
Wait.
I can't wait for him to get it wrong. I cannot wait.
So I'm trying to think of who asked this.
It's not about who asked it. It's about the answer.
No, but if I know who asked this, I could just say his name.
Anybody see the smoke coming up between his ears?
Oh yeah.
I'll go when I was really young, just starting out in like Tyke, actually the guy who got me into lacrosse, his name is John Pilcher. He used to be our coach. He was my friend's dad, and he always, you know, the coaching stance where he's like one foot's on the bench and the other's on the boards. He'd wear the highest shorts and do that, and he wouldn't move his leg, so you had to go under his leg to get by him. It was awful, but like he was one of the best coaches.
Good
I
old,
hope I got that right.
Good old Larry Riggs asked that question.
Yeah, of course.
Is that your dad?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. You're in trouble now.
Oh God.
What other sports did you guys play growing up, and how did that play an impact on your lacrosse skills and getting you to where you are today?
You can go first on this one.
I played hockey. You know, I was, and obviously I couldn't stay out of the net, so I was a hockey goalie as well. Hockey player for a little bit, and wanted to try being a net, and then enjoyed being a net and never left. Other than that, away from lacrosse, I like golfing. Golf, well, obviously Corey knows we golf pretty regularly. And yes, show the trophy. Yeah, show it off. Yeah. For those
say
who
it, he's better than you. Say
for those
it.
Who don't know, those
say
are,
he's better
trophy.
Than you.
Yeah, he
say
is better than, he is better than me on occasion. But no, other than that, it's golf. I don't play hockey anymore. I haven't played hockey in a couple of years now. It's just golf and lacrosse.
I actually played, I think my dad threw me in every physical contact sport there was on the planet when I was younger. I played rugby, hockey. I played football in high school. I did wrestling for 2 years. What else did I do? I played soccer for a year. I played t-ball. I think my dad just wanted to throw me in any sport because I always had high energy. So he's like, we got to get you in something, and just signed me up for everything. But I think every sport has helped me with lacrosse. Football helped me in my off season stay in shape. Wrestling surprisingly helped me out a lot with how like you could use body weight to your advantage. Even if he's bigger, you know how to throw his body weight around. just stuff like that. I think every sport brought something different that helped me out with lacrosse.
You brought up that you played football, but you missed that you were a quarterback. So we did some digging and we saw your quarterback in St. Mary Catholic Crusaders. Can you tell us about that experience and how someone who played quarterback goes to playing defense and lacrosse and, you know, making big hits? Instead of taking the hits, now you're giving the hits.
It was actually kind of funny. So every other sport I played in, I was offense. Hockey, offense, football, obviously quarterback. Rugby, I played like the outside wing, so where the fast guys run and get all the tries and stuff like that. But football toughened me up, and I don't know if my friends are going to listen to this or not, but my line sucked. Oh, and yeah, so I was getting hit every big words. Play.
Wow.
No. They
just throw me the bus.
Don't make me out to be a villain. I sacked 17 times one game.
Under the bus.
Joe Burrow does it all the time.
He doesn't get sacked 17 times. No, but like, we were not that good at football. I'd still, every time I'd run with the ball, I was always looking for that first person I could get in contact with. I think just growing up, I was always a big physical sports kind of guy, even though I wasn't that big. I don't think I hit my growth spurt till like the year after grade 12. That's when I put on like weight and height.
Sacked 17 times.
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh my god, you probably
bad when the other team's going up to you and like tapping you on the shoulder saying you're doing great. And you kind of like look at them like, come on, did you actually just say that to me?
You tried.
Thanks for coming out. The Bengals could have used you last night, but I'm just gonna not talk about that.
I'm on the Bengals side. I thought that was rigged. 100%. That was brutal to watch.
Yeah, not great. Another question from the fans at Sherry_Canny_ATL wants to know, what music do you guys listen to in order to pump you up?
We get a pretty good concert in our room before we go head to the car to drive to the arena. If anybody has been in a rental car with Riggs and I, know that we have the biggest variety of music going on at all times. It is everywhere all at once. It's hilarious. Usually Riggs is on the aux cord because I got some of my daughter's music that comes on sometimes, so it's kind of embarrassing. I got a little bit of
his daughter's music, guys. Don't worry.
A little bit of Disney music coming on that's like oh no. But no, Riggs is usually on the aux cord and we get like anything and everything going.
Yeah, I think I have a total of like 4,000 songs on my phone.
Jeez.
And so when people ask like, oh, what's your favorite genre? I can look at them and say I listen to it all because I really do. But before games, it's usually like rap. Some like, I don't know if you guys know what like EDM music is. Just stuff like that. That's the biggest one. The music that just makes you do this for about an hour.
Riggs knows so much music. If you want to do a karaoke night, he's probably the guy to throw on the hot mic. That's for sure.
Let's get it going.
He probably know any song that you'd throw up there and start singing. That's how much music he knows.
Good to know. So you guys are the party car on the way over to the rink.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Our music's like all the way up. It's hilarious.
So when's the next roadie? I'm coming.
Oh, you're always welcome, Corey.
Thank you. Another question from the listeners, Rob Ostapek, is there a reason behind choosing the numbers you wear, 1 and 10?
This is asked on I'm gonna forget his name again.
Awful. Absolutely awful.
Guy Lafleur. Bang. My dad, when he was like when I first started playing sports, I think it was Guy Lafleur was number 10, and that was his favorite player. So I didn't really have a choice, but I've grown up to love the number. And actually, it was funny because my mom, I was born on October 11th. And if it was one day on the 10th, I would have been 10 on the 10th year of the 10th month of the 10th day. And my mom's always said that you just didn't want to do it that day. And so I think that was I think with my dad just throwing on that number 10, thank God I got the guy right. He didn't let it go a lot of time. I got it wrong. So that's why I wear 10.
As a kid, you know, when I was a kid in minor sports in general, it's always 1 or 30. Those are the two goalie numbers. Didn't get much of a variety. They were already pre-chosen for you. So I always stuck with the number 1. And then, you know, as you get older, you know, I didn't get to wear 1 when I was with the Germans for German lacrosse because there was another goalie that already had it, so I couldn't take it. So I wore 65. 65 was a number I wore in my last year of Burlington Junior A. But I've chosen 1 as much as I possibly can because, you know, you strive to be number 1. And it's just a mental thing from where you want to be the best. You want to be the number 1 goalie. You want to be number 1 for everything. So I just stuck with me. I never thought anything different than being 1.
I love that. Riggsy, one more question about the numbers. So you wear 10 for us. You wore 10 a lot throughout your life. Why is behind Corey your gold medal jersey number 47?
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
was 10 taken?
Yeah, it was taken by my buddy Jake Saunders, okay, who I played with, who played on the junior A team at the time, and I was on the junior B team. And I got there actually for my whole junior career, I didn't have 10. And it was so funny. As soon as, like, when I signed with Georgia, Gwen texted me, sent me like the number list, and was like, hey, what number do you want? And I went down the thing, and I was like, and 10's such a popular number. In my opinion. So I was like, I wasn't even looking for it. I was like, all right, what dumb number am I going to get now? and then I saw that 10 was open, and I've never texted anyone so fast. And I was like 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. And so, yeah, I just, none of the 10, all the 10s in junior were all taken.
I'm glad it worked out for you. And thanks for filling those gaps there. So we're going to move on to a fun portion of the podcast. It's called Do You Know Your Bro? You guys are supposed to have a large bromance. So we're going to put you guys to the test, all right?
Wendy, I apologize.
I don't think the bromance is so solid.
He threw everybody
he's
else under the bus.
He's going to start rethinking things after
he's
this.
He's throwing me under the bus on every question here, probably. Unbelievable.
All right. If any, what pregame superstitions does the other have?
Oh, I got this. When we get to the rink, I don't know what time he goes out at. I don't know if it's a certain time, but he goes out there in his little swarm mm-hmm. shoes, and he walks back and forth throwing the ball at the boards for about an hour, and just with his headphones on and getting locked in. I've always wanted to ask him what it's about, but I'm just like, I don't want to bother him. But that's his, I think.
Yeah, that sums it up. I love being at the arena early. I love doing a walk and just relaxing, listening to music before I go get my equipment on. So yeah, that definitely is it. Riggs is literally just dance to any music that comes in his head. The guy will dance either in the change room, on the floor, wherever. He'll come out eventually and start throwing the ball around and warm up throwing the ball around, but the guy doesn't, in my opinion, he doesn't have a pregame ritual. He is so relaxed and so calm. And he's like, unlike anybody on our team, he's just out relaxing and having fun.
Yeah, he's right. I've always said, and it's not that I don't take it serious, but I find I'm more focused when I'm at my most relaxed. So I kind of, Wendy's absolutely right. I'm dancing around, I'm singing around, I'm just kind of doing my own thing. I'm in my own little world. And as soon as that whistle goes, it's all right, it's game time.
Yeah, we all have our different things. I was more like that anyways, instead of the get hyped to the music. So that's that's a good way, being the hype guy. So what is a common trademark saying that the other says
right now? Wendy's on That's Facts.
Oh, I was just about to say that. That's unbelievable.
No. He says that so much now. It's so funny. I think I said it once, and he started saying it, and I was like, this guy just stole my line.
I think I learned that from him. So let's be fair. That might have been Riggs' thing. So I must have learned that from him. So I don't really know. I would have said, I was actually literally going to use that from him. That's Facts, because I've literally heard you say that. So you must not realize how much you actually say it.
No, I don't.
So you literally say that just as much as I do. So we must have fed each other that exact statement.
Yeah, because I think it's to the point, or maybe we just don't see it, and we're just, and we say it way too much now.
I think so.
Riggsy, do you think you have one?
No, see, I've always thought of myself as kind of a wild card. You never know what's going to happen.
Yep.
All right. Earlier, Riggsy, I know you said you're trying to cut Chick-fil-A out of the diet, but what are each other's go-to Chick-fil-A orders?
He gets the – so, like, so he'll get two sandwiches. But, like, sometimes they'll switch up. So – sometimes he'll get the deluxe with just the regular spicy chicken, or sometimes he'll even like indulge himself in two spicy chickens, but he always gets fries. What's his drink? I forget what he gets to drink, but I know like and always extra Chick-fil-A sauce, but it's either a deluxe and a regular spicy chicken or two spicy chickens with one fry and a drink.
So Riggs is usually an original, right? It's not, you don't get the spicy one. Same thing, extra Chick-fil-A sauce. To be honest, when we leave the restaurant, I'm surprised we don't walk out with all the Chick-fil-A sauce in the restaurant. I don't know. I'd be surprised if I didn't mention we got a shake. We used to get shakes there all the time. We don't get shakes anymore. You're a lemonade guy.
Yeah.
So that's a lemonade guy. And then, we sometimes get cookies leaving the restaurant. So in Atlanta, they know him quite well.
No,
first name basis.
No, you tell the truth. Okay, so I'm gonna tell this story because this is gonna make me sound brutal, but I promise you, it's not as bad as you think. So last year, we would go in and we'd always, and there's always this one worker. And she'd like see us and she'd lose her mind. She'd like hug us and all that stuff, right? She'd come out with free cookies, okay? And I wouldn't have any. Wendy would always eat them all.
I believe it.
But here's the thing. One time, so it was just a bad weekend to be Ethan Riggs because I was getting flamed the whole weekend. I couldn't get a win for my life. It was a bad travel weekend. And I just started to pick up some traction by chirping Wendy, right? He had this awful, awful, like, bright red shirt. And I was flaming him and just going at him. And I walk into Chick-fil-A, and the lady looks me dead in the eyes and says, "There's my cookie boy."
Wow.
Do you know how embarrassing that is?
Is that your nickname now?
Cookie boy.
We had him here all the time.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have to start calling you that. Cookie boy.
I wouldn't have any. That's the part that blew my mind. I'm like sitting there like, what's going on?
Cookie boy, get the balls.
Yeah, it was priceless. And the fact that we actually came back first game this year to Atlanta. So it was like months off.
Oh, yeah, it happened again.
Oh my God. Literally recognized him and goes, "There's my cookie boy." Like literally months later, it was the funniest thing ever. I nearly died. Bucky and I like were almost laying on the floor laughing so hard.
We got to get you bad. Some kind
I
of...
thought she wasn't going to recognize me. I was like, I lost weight. Like I'm good. She ain't going to recognize me. She walked right up to me and said, "Oh my God, it's my cousin's boy." I was like, "Oh, here we go."
We're going to have to get you some kind of a sponsorship over there, some partnership deal going on.
No.
Your face on all the cookie packages.
God.
We'll get some shirts made up.
That's hilarious.
It was pretty bad.
All right. What is each other's biggest fear? Oh, hey.
Minor is a little bit of heights, but ladders especially. I do not like being on ladders. I am uncomfortable as heck being on ladders.
Hey, Wendy, I'm supposed to tell them your biggest fears. I don't know if you know the game or not.
I don't even know what your biggest. I don't even know what your biggest fear is. I fear nothing.
I.
You fear being called Cookie Boy.
Yeah, that's a big one. Okay, if we're just telling our fears, then mine's my biggest one's spiders. I do not like spiders. And I'm a big heights guy. I don't like heights. I like my feet firmly planted on the ground.
All right. Well, you both definitely proved that you know your bro. It is clear why you guys have one of the biggest, if not the biggest, bromance on the team. So thank you both for joining us today. And I'm looking forward to seeing you guys this weekend.
Thank you, Ethan and Craig, again for hopping on the Stingcast. Once again, Stingcast listeners, that was Georgia Swarms, Craig, Wendy, and Ethan Riggs. Big shout out to them for hopping on. We would like to thank you guys for tuning in again, but before we let you go, we have a few more words on behalf of the Swarm Stingcast.
So once again, the Swarm are coming off a two-week bye and faced the reigning NLL champions, the Colorado Mammoth in Denver, this Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can watch it live on ESPN Plus and TSN. Following the Colorado game, the Swarm come back to Atlanta the week after to host the Toronto Rock on Friday, February 10th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can get tickets for as low as $12 a seat at georgiaswarm.com/tickets. Once again, if you have any questions, suggestions, or comments for next time, DM Georgia Swarm Lax on any social media channel. The Stingcast is brought to you by the Engineered Solutions of Georgia, Atlanta's premier waterproofing and foundation experts. You can visit them at esogrepair.com. Once again, that's esog.com. To keep up with the Stingcast and listen to the next episode, make sure to follow us on Spotify